The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
Welcome back to Flourish and Fulfilled. Now, this week's episode is kind of like off the back of it just being Mother's Day here in Australia. And I thought it would be such a good episode to talk about the mum guilt associated not only with everyday life, but especially around Mother's Day. And then kind of have a little bit more of an in-depth discussion relating to decision fatigue. What is decision fatigue? How many decisions on average we make per day? Yes, this one's going to really shock you. All right, so before we go deep into this, I would like to thank today's episode sponsor, which is, well, me, the bod. So as this episode goes to air, I'm gearing up for like the biggest ever sale that I have had today, and I'm so excited about it. But also I'm excited for what is to come for myself, the businesses, and I feel like the bod, when I first started it in 2012, I've progressed so far in 10 years of direction, and I'm really proud of myself for always staying true to my philosophy, my beliefs, and the bod is something that I just hand on heart back 100% for its nutrition, training, all of the equipment that we have, and I'm so grateful for every single person that has joined the journey on the bod, being able to be their best versions of themselves and making sure that they're taking care of themselves. So we're going to be offering like an up to 50% off all of our hard copy programs, our wrist grips. So if you haven't already taken advantage of the wrist grips, the bod wrist grips are designed, they're essentially, what is a wrist grip? First off, a wrist grip is essentially a hand, you put them around your wrists and around your hand, and it holds the barbell and dumbbell secured to your hand. So it actually allows you to lift like 10 to 15 kilos heavier than what you normally would. However, it stops your grip from losing within your fingers. And so you're able to build a lot more muscle, a lot more strength, and it makes your lifting so much more comfortable and easy. Now, if that sounds a little bit overwhelming to you and you're not quite there yet, that's totally fine as well. It is simply being able to do the movement better without your hands giving way. We also have just launched our vegan recipe book and flexible dieting options and meal plans for vegans as well, which is really hard to be able to find in the market based on the fact that a vegan nutrition plan to be able to build muscle and lose body fat is quite hard to actually program for. So if that's something of interest to you, head across to thebod.com.au. We have very limited stock. We are not reordering any of this stock. So if you do want to grab some of the goodies or the hard copy programs, please do so now. So that is just thebod.com.au. All right, so it has just been Mother's Day here in Australia. And I am like, over the course of being on Facebook, I am in so many random groups. Like, does that resonate with anyone else? I'm in the multiple mummies of Australia. I'm in the twin forums. I'm in random parenting groups. I'm in donor breast milk groups. And I'm in all of these random networks where some of the posts really intrigue me. And I'm always just blown away by some of the questions, some of the relationships, some of the perspectives. And I feel like this is a topic that I just wanted to be able to discuss here and be able to broaden this conversation a little bit further onto the Flourish and Fulfilled community and Facebook as well. So there was a common theme that I did notice within the Facebook groups was that a lot of mums were kind of feeling a little bit disheartened by perhaps they woke up in the morning to their babies at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., their partners were still asleep, and they logged onto social media and they saw all these perfect images of all these mums sitting in bed covered with flowers and being showered with all this affection and these perfect pictures of them having breakfast in bed, and their realities were perhaps anything but. And I know that I have really made sure this year that I was so true to how my day was, so to not add to that kind of pressure or level of mum guilt that we always seem to take on. And I know that my Mother's Day was so beautiful, but so funny at the same time. So at 5 a.m., I had my little twinnies sitting at our door whispering to each other, can we come in yet? We've got some presents for you. And all I wanted to do was sleep in, even till like 8 a.m. So from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m., I spent every 10 minutes being like, girls, go back to bed. Go back to bed. Go and turn the TV on. No, no. Literally for maybe 3 hours of me just being like, please just let me have a sleep in. So that's one extreme. Them sitting there so excited to be able to give me their little calendars and bookmarks. To the other extreme of me going to the market, coming home, making breakfast, doing some washing, watching a movie, gets to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And have the teens even gotten out of bed yet? Nope. Did Kai even remember it was Mother's Day? Nope. Did I get a card? Nope. And so at 1 o'clock, I went upstairs and I said, do you even appreciate me? And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, it's Mother's Day. And he's like, oh, can I go bike riding? And I was like, yep, yes, you can. And he was like, are you mad? I was like, no, do whatever you want. I'm never going to tell you what to do. And I was so upset. Like, he not only entirely forgot that it was Mother's Day, but I just feel like as they grow up, there's this level of self-independence and lack of appreciation or gratitude because I just feel like their self-awareness is not there. And if we were to perhaps stop doing all of the things that we do for them, they might be like, oh, wow, she does a lot. But at the same time, there's this whole mum guilt of stopping the things that we do every single day without even thinking about it because we love our children and we want what's best for them, that we literally have this constant internal conflict of like overgiving and then feeling unappreciated and then giving some more and then still feeling unappreciated. And I posted this funny reel and I wonder if I can somehow get the audio up here. This is probably not going to be great. And my producer's probably like, no, don't do it. But listen to this.
Stop trying to do everything.
Then who the fuck is gonna do it?
And that right there had so many reshares and it obviously hit a spot with so many people and so many mums because we're like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to build independent children and they're going to be able to do their own washing and they're going to help out in the kitchen. And then you realize that when you stop doing it, no one does it and the washing just keeps piling up and they don't even care. So it's like, who's going to do it if I don't do it? And it's that funny thing of us as mums feeling this sense of guilt. And I know that I've posted this so many times and I've spoken about this on so many different occasions, but mothers are expected to work as if they are not mothers. And mothers are supposed to parent as if they do not work or do not have a job. And it's this whole level of social construct that we have within our society of mums who are stay-at-home mums are judged because they're not in the workforce. And then mums that are in the workforce are judged because they are in the workforce. And it's literally like we cannot win no matter what we do. And then we always carry this level of mum guilt or mum shame or feeling as if nothing we can do is actually hitting the spot because in the world or the eyes of society, we can't. We're never going to be a perfect mum. Now, the other thing that I did see across like Facebook was that so many parents, mums particularly, because I guess that's the circles that I'm in and the Facebook groups that I'm in, were complaining about their partners and the fact that their partners didn't perhaps get them gifts or let them have a sleep in and they ended up doing so much more for themselves on Mother's Day than what their partner actually did. And there's a part of me that's like, have we placed so much emphasis on this one day of feeling appreciated that we're never actually going to hit that sweet spot of appreciation because it's this one day of feeling like every single part of appreciation of being a mum should fall on today rather than it being the fact that how incredible that we've created life and that we are mums and that we have the ability to be a mum. Now, the other thing that I did see as well is that there's so many women out there who are perhaps struggling with fertility and have always wanted to become a mum or be a mum. And this has really hit a sore spot for them of feeling like a failure or perhaps feeling like everybody else has been able to achieve this goal of theirs and they're not a mum. And I know that there's other women who perhaps have fractured relationships with their own mum, and then they've had their own issues with Mother's Day as well. And there's so many emotions that have been going around for this one day. And it was just really interesting, I guess, to see the different perspectives across my social media of women who had so many different varying experiences. Now, the one common consistency that I did see here was that a lot of women felt unappreciated. And it's incredible that we have to articulate that it's not even about gifts. It's not about waking up to breakfast in bed or being showered with flowers. It is simply the fact of feeling appreciated. And I know that for myself, I will do anything for anybody if they appreciate it, anybody at all. And the whole thing is, I guess, having that purpose in life of being able to add value and add connection and having that sense of belonging. And I know that when I looked at all of these posts and feedback, is that that was the common denominator, is the lack of appreciation. So if you perhaps are a male listening to this podcast, show appreciation. I think that's kind of what everybody was after for Mother's Day. And I know that when I looked back across social media on Mother's Day, it was so funny. There were so many perfectly staged families and so many beautiful moments of flowers and all this stuff. And my Mother's Day was literally like, Aria had a temp on and off all day. We laid on the couch. Andrew was on, what was it, the UFC sports bet, was on his phone. And I had the best Mother's Day that I reckon I've had in so long, despite the fact that Kai wasn't even awake for it. But it was definitely like funny how we have this sense of what Mother's Day is going to be versus what it actually is. Now, they say that being a parent is a full-time job. And research reveals that mums work the equivalent of 2.5 full-time jobs. So that's like 98 hours a week on average. And when we like think about a mum who perhaps works and is also a stay-at-home mum or runs the household, you have so many different hats or roles, right? So you have an accountant, you have an art director, athletic director, bookkeeper, CEO, coach, daycare center teacher, dietitian, education, event planner, housekeeper, groundskeeper, interior designer, janitor, laundry manager, logistics analyst. You have a marketing manager, photographer, plumber, school teacher, psychologist, social media manager, tax accountant, program manager. There's so many different hats that as a mum we wear every single day. And it is just mind-blowing what I am going to say in a second, but I'm actually going to put this question into your minds first because I did this on my stories last week and it was insane the responses that I had. So when we think about every decision that we have to make as a parent, you think about now adding being a mum into that. Try being a mum of having 6 kids and it's just like this number is probably tripled. So if I was to ask you, what is the average amount of decisions that an adult makes each day? What would you say? So really have a think about it. The average amount of decisions that an adult makes each day. Now, I'm firstly going to tell you there's a lot of guesses that were around 600, 800, 1200, that kind of mark, right? And this is why it was so mind-blowing. So most researchers agree that the average adult makes around 35,000 decisions each and every day. That is insane. And something that was quite funny was about 220 of those decisions daily are in relation to food alone. So when I was doing this research, so what actually, the reason that I came up with this topic and when I was doing this research was all in relation to decision fatigue. So obviously we have like 6 kids in the house. Everyone comes to me. What are we having for dinner? I don't know. Where's my socks? Oh, I don't know. Have you seen my jacket? Oh, I don't know. Where's dad? What time's dad finish work? Does anyone know where my shoes are? Has Luna been fed? So like that's in the space of 3 minutes, right? And so you imagine all of these questions and having to remember everything. That I was making an MRI appointment for Ryder's knee, totally irrelevant. And the lady said to me, what's his date of birth? And I was like, shit. Because I had just been hammered with all of these other questions. I was like, I know this question. I know the answer to this one. I've got this. And I essentially was like, I'm brain dead. I don't know. I have no idea. And she's laughing at me on the phone. But I was like, there has to be a reason that that my brain is so switched on with certain things. And then by the time I get to 6 p.m., I'm like, I don't have anything left in the tank. And there's this thing called decision fatigue. And it's so, so true. But when I was making this MRI appointment, I had Charlie sitting behind me and she'd actually spent the day at home and she was off sick from school and we had worked next to each other for the whole day. And it was quite funny because for that whole day, all I did was eat. Like, I was like, I'm so hungry, what should I have? I'm going to have this and then I'm going to make this. And then like within 20 minutes, I was like, oh, I'm thirsty, I'm going to make this. And so when I read out that 220 decisions daily are about food alone to her, she was literally in hysterics because she was like, I reckon your 35,000 decisions were about food alone today. And so when we think about all of the questions and information that us as adults have to carry, remember, acknowledge, be able to give back to other people, imagine that number then multiplied by each child that we have. So we think it's 35,000 decisions on average per day as an adult. Imagine having to make that decision for young ones as well, or for six kids as well, and maybe adding your partner to that. And then we have this thing called decision fatigue. And what is incredible is that when we acknowledge what decision fatigue is and remove simple decisions from our day so that it reduces the amount of decisions that we're having to actively make each day, our brain actually works at an optimal level. And so the key thing here, as I mentioned before in relation to food, is that removing these decisions each day that we make every single morning, perhaps what we have for breakfast. What is an easy breakfast that is optimal nutrition in relation to you, something that you could eat every single day? It removes any sort of decision. And I've somewhat done this to a certain extent in relation to my oats that I have. I honestly can't remember the last time I didn't have those oats for breakfast. And I guess a part of that is the fact I don't want to have to make a decision on what to have for breakfast. I just go to the cupboard and I make it. This is also very relevant in relation to why minimalism has become so popular, because there's a lot of people, I think Gary Vee is one of them to be fair, that they have a wardrobe capsule. So they have like five t-shirts, five shorts, five pants, and they simply rotate them. And I think there was actually last year as well a news reporter that wore the same outfit every single day to see how it improved their function at work because they weren't having to decide what to wear. And what they saw was they actually got a promotion from being like the newsreader in the morning to the night or something like that. And they documented it without telling anybody else. So making fewer decisions that are decisions that you make every single day help you to reduce the decision fatigue so that your brain is able to actually absorb information on a deeper level. Now, there's heaps of things that you actually can do in relation to this, like developing routines that reduce decision making is a massive one. So having spots for things, the clothes that you wear, whatever that looks like for you in relation to food is also a big one. I wouldn't suggest eating the same foods every day for every meal because I'm very big on the whole flexible dieting to make sure that you do get your micronutrients and that you are eating a variety of foods, and the rainbow is the easiest way to be able to describe that, especially if you do have children. Eating the rainbow allows you to have numerous different micronutrients and macronutrients that we need within our nutrition to be able to get all of our vitamins and minerals, and that's just the easiest way to be able to educate and teach the general population for that. The other big one is delegating decisions to family members. And this kind of relates back to my reel. It's like, if I don't do it, who the fuck's going to do it? Delegating different decisions to household members is an absolute game changer. So let's just say that one person in the house is responsible for the dishwasher. That's all they do. That's their chore. That's on them. Another person is responsible for the bins. And perhaps between your partner and yourself, they make all school contact and you do all of the household food. Whatever it looks like for you of decision making, it's allowing your brain to not have to think about that or keep score or have that in your brain always ticking over and remembering today's sports uniform, tomorrow is formal uniform. On Thursday, Kai has to do bike riding after school, so he has to remember his bike. Little things like that, which I obviously know the whole house, is really great to be able to delegate off so that it reduces the amount of decisions that you're making every single day. Making tougher decisions earlier in the day and stopping making critical decisions, especially within the workplace, after a certain time. So that was very similar to my MRI example in relation to Ryder. By the time I got to the end of the day and I was finally making his appointment, I couldn't even, that's not even a tough decision, that's his date of birth. I couldn't even bring myself to remember his date of birth, which knee it was. And then she literally had like 25 questions about his medical history and claustrophobia and all these other things and questions that I had to answer to be able to even make the appointment. So it was quite funny. So if you do have any big decisions to make, try and make them as early as possible. Shopping lists and meal preparation are an absolute game changer, especially for decision-making and decision fatigue. So I have spoke about this numerous times, but I use like HelloFresh, for example, and all of the meals are planned out. And then in the diary, what I will do is I'll add in additional meals from my recipe books or app to be able to supplement throughout the week as well. That is such a big one, especially when there's that many kids in the house who have different views of what we should have for dinner. So if there wasn't very clear direction of this is what's for dinner, this is HelloFresh, we've got the food here, sorry, but that's it. It would be very hard for us to constantly have to think of something to make based on the food that we had to feed everybody and keep everybody happy. So that's just one less decision that I actually have to make. And that is such a good big, easy one to be able to take off my list. If you don't want to do, say, HelloFresh or a meal box, or you're working with a budget, what I would suggest doing is actually the bot at the moment, because we're doing the 50% off sale. We have these meal planner like schedules, and they rip off, and you can do a week to a day to a week, if that makes sense. So you can plan out the whole week in advance of your meals and have it sitting on the bench. And then my hot tip there for that is to actually just flip the page over, but don't throw it in the bin, so that you can reuse. And what you can actually do then is work on like a 6-week roster of those meal plans. So once you've planned out meals that your family really enjoy, you can reuse them every 6 weeks so that the kids actually enjoy it and they're not getting bored of the foods. If you are a big family or on a budget, my budget recipe book, it's only available in digital format, but it is such a good recipe book for big families or those that are on a budget that want to be able to meal prep or meal plan, because all of those recipes are really easy to find, even especially during hard times like floods or COVID or whatever that might look like. All of them are like staple items that you can find in majority of the supermarkets. It's not fancy foods. It's not things that are going to cost you an arm and a leg or anything like that. So that's a really, really good one there. Go minimalist. Now, for those that have followed me for a while, I reckon I've been saying this for like 3 years. Sometimes I'm really good at my goals, aka in 2019, my goal was to read a book a week, and I did that for 2 years. So I read 104 books in 2 years. And I'm so grateful that I did that. But is that my goal now? No way. No way. No way. And I think as well, because I was on such a good streak, I didn't want to ruin it. But that's definitely not my goal for right now. However, going minimalist has been literally, I reckon I've told you guys for 3 years, 4 years, I am going to be a minimalist. And this year was the funniest year, because at the start of the year, we had just come off the back of 6 months living in an apartment. So all of my clothes were at home because of the border issues that we had here in Queensland and New South Wales. I hadn't been home for 6 months. All my clothes that were at home, I was like, that's it, fresh start. I'm going to give them to the people in need. And that's my fresh start. I reckon if I'm honest, it's May. I have more clothes now than what I had in December. And that is something I'm not proud of. And I would love to be able to adapt that minimalist lifestyle. I'm just not there yet. So I will help you guys to see that that is the best possible way and encourage you all to do that and not quite get there yet. So it might be next year's goal again for me. But being able to live a minimalist lifestyle, there's so many benefits. And I think I might try and get somebody on, perhaps Genoa, because he's a really good one for that, in relation to decision fatigue and minimalistic lifestyle and lifestyle choices and how much better you actually can function at an optimal level when you are living a minimalist lifestyle. So yeah, I'm not there. You might be. Turn off alerts and notifications. This is a huge one for me. So the only alerts that I have on my phone are for my emails, and I turned off social media, 3 years ago, and I could not have social media notifications turned on. And even my email notifications, sometimes, like I'm looking at my phone right now and I've got 6 emails in the space of, I don't even know how long we've been recording, but like half an hour, 6 emails. And they're all action emails. And the problem that I find is like, I'm looking at these right now and they're all decisions that I have to kind of make. So we've got our challenges coming up and like, what does that look like? What dates are we going to start? We've got excess hip thrust pads. What are we going to do with them? Like, so there's a whole bunch of decisions that I automatically go, oh, okay, I've got to make these. How am I going to action this? I'm going to have to do that later. Today, I've got a really busy day and an event tonight. So I'm not going to be able to get back to them if I don't get back to them now. And then my whole brain goes into that spiral of making sure that I'm making these decisions correctly. And as I run 3 companies, it's quite hard and exhausting to make sure that I'm replying and getting back to everybody that I need to. So if you can, and I understand that there's a lot of people that can't just turn off email notifications, if you can turn off your alerts, even after a certain time at night, to be able to stop your brain from having to function at that optimal level all the time, that is a big, big one. Use others to help with the decision-making process. So if you're lucky enough to be in a loving relationship where your partner is open to helping out in your decision-making, that's a really big one. If you have teen kids, being able to delegate and help them to be able to make decisions is a really big process as well, because sometimes what we actually find is we make these decisions for other people or for ourselves, and then the mum guilt kicks in and we start to worry. And then in turn, it makes us feel like we're not a good enough mum, or there's hints of comparison or inadequacy. And that all might creep in when perhaps we're working and we're putting our kids in front of the television or the iPad because we're not able to get back to all of the emails that we have to. And then in turn, of course, creates this mum guilt and this decision fatigue. So as mothers, we're literally expected to keep the household running, work, be the support, and do it all. And then ensuring that we're having enough time for ourselves and self-care and having our internal emotional regulation and our system to make sure that we're not freaking out or feeling like the worst human on earth. So I guess today's podcast is simply a reminder that we're all just doing the best that we can. And I really would like to encourage you all to just pat yourselves on the back. And if your kids are healthy, you're happy, you're in a loving household, you're doing the best that you possibly can, that is all that is needed when it comes to being a mum. Let go of any mum guilt that you might have. Really do some research into decision fatigue and what it is and how many decisions you're making each day, and really just become aware of when you are making decisions and how you can perhaps delegate those decisions or be able to remove a lot of those decisions that you are making each and every day. But I would love to know if this podcast today or this podcast episode has actually hit a spot with you and how you feel about mum guilt, being a mum, the pressure surrounding Mother's Day, decision making, any tips that you might have to running your household. And I know that in the Flourish and Fulfilled group, there's so many mums in there, and I've just been able to actually turn on anonymous posts, which is a very cool feature. So there's a lot of people that perhaps aren't wanting to share their intimate stories about their household or their relationships or how they're truly feeling within their parenting journey. And now having that feature and that function allows people to be able to ask questions or receive support anonymously. So that's incredible. So if you're not in the closed Facebook group, it's Flourish and Fulfilled, or Flourish and Fulfilled Community actually, and just send a request over. Anyone can join, and it's obviously entirely free, and we have some really cool deep chats in there. So I would love to hear how this episode has kind of resonated with you all. And to stay up to date with anything that is happening, head over to Flourish and Fulfilled Instagram also. Now, just a little reminder, thanks to today's episode sponsor, which is of course The Bod and our huge sale that we have going at the moment. Head across to thebod.com.au to take advantage of that, and I'll chat to you guys next week.